Hi, I'm Steve Goldstein, and this is the Friday Newscap podcast. Each week, we review the biggest stories with experts, reporters, and commentators to put the news in perspective. Here's this week's episode.
I was happy that Martha and Cindy were able to get together and visit earlier this week and clear the air. And now it's time to get to work.
I am very humbled and I'm grateful for this opportunity and this appointment by Governor Ducey. I've spent my life in service, and I'm going to continue to serve with everything I've got to make a difference for those who I represent. That's what I did in the House, and that's what I intend to do in the Senate.
This is going to be outrageous for Arizona voters. They made a clear choice. They said they didn't want her, and now she is their senator.
And with us to talk about Governor Ducey appointing Congresswoman Martha McSally to the Senate and more of this week's news are former Arizona Democratic Party Chair Andre Cherney and former Tempe Mayor Hugh Hallman. Guys, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Pleasure and an honor.
Andre, let's start with the naming of Martha McSally. One of the things that came up, I spoke with Grant Woods earlier this week, is, okay, if not McSally, then who? Certainly there's reason for people to be upset about it, but were there any other viable choices that people actually see for Governor Ducey, considering he had to be a Republican?
Well, I think there was a fine former mayor of Tempe who would have done a great job sitting.
Is he technically still a Republican? I'm not.
he has always been and likely always will, but when you've told the chief of staff that the governor has some challenges, you're never going to be on that list.
Okay.
But for him, you're right. He had to appoint a Republican. He had to appoint a Republican who could do a few things. Number one, run a strong election campaign in an election that's just around the corner in 2020. Both survive a Republican primary that's certainly going to happen and win a general election. That's not a long list of folks in this state. And certainly I haven't heard of a better suggestion of somebody who can meet all those tests than Martha McSally.
Well, Hugh, that former chief of staff was someone who is listed as a finalist, at least. Any other names coming to mind for you?
Yeah, Barbara Barrett was mentioned continuously. Karen Kanosik Taylor was mentioned continuously. And Eileen Klein were mentioned continuously. So it was those four. It likely had to be a woman. And I think Andres just acknowledged what the calculus had to be. In this instance, the effort to delegitimize anybody who gets an appointment is always fascinating to me because that is part of the democratic process. That is, we have a constitution that said, first of all, that the Senate would not be elected directly. It would be selected by the states. And then having changed that in the early part of the last century, we still have the pieces of it that exist that require in this instance that when senators disappear from office, you have to replace them. And that replacement is typically done by the chief executive of the state. In this instance, that's exactly what happened. So no matter who would get into that spot, you have somebody who did not win an election. And to have somebody say that voters rejected Martha McSally, the reality is that Martha McSally got 1,135,200 votes. And let's say the person she effectively replaced, John Kyle, in his last election got 814,000 votes. So she only did about 300,000 or 400,000 votes better than John Kyle. The reality is, yeah, she's not legitimate as an elected official in that regard, but she's served in the Congress. She's savvy. She knows what she's doing. And I think for the liberal wing of the Democratic Party, Kyrsten Sinema is going to be horrible. And for the Republican hardcore right wing of the Republican Party, Martha McSally is going to be horrible. Because this is a libertarian state, and both of these women are going to run to the middle, and I think they're going to do an effective job together, notwithstanding all the complaints about the campaign.
Hugh, I'm interested in what you said about how you expect that Martha McSally will not be great for the right wing of the Republican Party, because she got a lot of criticism, of course, during the campaign for moving too far to the right during the primary, not effectively moving back to the center.
I believe you heard that in this very studio just before the election,
out of my mouth,
yes.
So, but you think she'll be able to do that once she gets to the Senate?
Absolutely. She's now in elected office, effectively, and she's going to be serving for 2 years before she has to go at it again. I think that given her abilities, she will build a record and a demonstration that she and Kyrsten are pretty close together. I do think Andre's right. There may be a Republican primary, but that's also why Kyrsten could beat Martha, because Martha had a terrible Republican Party, spent a bunch of money, and ended up having to run to the right. I don't know that that actually happens in 2 years.
I'd expect there will be a primary. She faced a tough one before, and conversation based on what Mark was just asking, I think is going to be a very real one, because she's going to face a real push and pull to run back to the center to be more like the kind of congresswoman she was in southern Arizona, and that kind of voting record that at least started out fairly moderate, and then as she started having larger statewide aspirations, started morphing a bit. But she's going to be having to do this delicate balancing act, and it's going to be a tough political situation for her.
Andre, would you expect the primary challenge to come from the right as it did this year?
Well, it certainly won't come from the left, the Republican Party. There's certainly not a very strong challenge there. Certainly that's where the energy and vitality is of the Republican Party in Arizona and in and nationwide is in that Trump hardcore nationalist and very much anti-conservative in many ways aspect of the Republican Party.
I think he's correct, except that in that regard, two more years, you've seen what the first 2 years of the Trump administration has done to the Republican Party. Andre's team picked up 4 votes in the Arizona House of Representatives. It's 31-29. And one DUI at the moment that's going to tangle it up for a while. I think that process is going to continue, and I think Martha McSally is going to take advantage of it.
Andre, let's come back to what you said about this being another fast race. Martha McSally is used to this, having been in the House, so she runs every 2 years. Is that going to make her, I don't know, Hugh, I want you to chime in on this too. Could this potentially make her a cipher in some way? Because immediately she gets in office, and now it's time to run again, as opposed to actually trying to work on legislation.
Well, if you look nationally, there's been a pretty poor track record of senators who've been appointed to office actually winning office. Slightly different situation here because she's somebody who has run for Senate, whether she won or not, but she has had that experience of having that statewide exposure, which some of the folks who are not politicians, like those that Hugh had mentioned as being considered, would not have had. She's going to be in a tough situation. I mean, she is going to have to run in 2020. If she were to win, she runs again in 2022. Having run statewide, Hugh's run statewide.
Andre's run statewide.
Exactly.
You got two losers here.
Thank you. Thanks for reminding me. Merry Christmas to you, too, Hugh.
Yeah, it's the two loser treasurer candidates.
Exactly. Look, we did that once. She'll have... If she wins in 2020, done that 3 cycles in a row in big, multi-tens of millions of dollars races, I don't envy her for that.
Yeah, how effective can she actually be in the fact that she'll be maybe for a year and then it's all heck breaks loose as she tries to get this seat, hold on to it?
I think in 2020 you're going to have a presidential campaign going on. You're going to have a whole bunch of stuff going on. And I think the Republican Party will have had to take a reconsidered approach to who it's going to support. And Andre might be right that there is a Kelly Ward who's going to run, or Ms. Rogers may pull out and decide to run for statewide office as well and make that primary more difficult. But I think the next cycle, fewer people are going to play. And I think Martha, because she will then be a sitting senator, will have the ability to attract more money and more ability.
So looking ahead from the primary then to the general election in 2020, does the fact that Kyrsten Sinema beat Martha McSally, is that a playbook that other Democrats can use against McSally? Or was Sinema such a unique candidate in these particular times that it might not be transferable to another Democrat?
Well, I think what will be interesting will be, is 2020 a year like 2018 was? And 2018, as we near the end of that year, was one of the strongest years for Democrats in the past century. And so it helped a lot of Democratic candidates who may or may not have won, but for that kind of big tide. If you look at the House races across the country, Democrats won by the largest margin in decades. Question is, what's going to be happening in 2020? Are we facing a Donald Trump who, if he, let's say, still is in office at that point, and not behind bars, is facing a recession, potential war, and who knows what else, and a very weakened Republican Party and a Democratic Party surging forward? Or are we going to see something like what we've seen really every couple of years over the past decade, which is Republicans have a strong year, Democrats have a strong year. Republicans have a strong year, Democrats have a strong year. People keep on looking for something different, keep on being unsatisfied. And we have this cycle that's gone back and forth since 2006, really. And I think we're going to see what 2020 has looked like from that standpoint.
Hugh, what do you think?
Looking into a crystal ball, I'm going to end up smashing it and be cut by glass.
You hate crystal balls, yeah.
I do indeed. But the reality, I think, for the Republican Party is because Donald Trump's at the top of the ticket for now, Democrats I don't think will be able to resist and will end up with lots of investigations coming out of the House side and all kinds of things. And as a result, he may get some sympathy. But I think the lack of ability to advance any of his policies for the hard right and the lack of capacity to do anything else to assist the country probably ends up in a case in which at the top of the ticket, it's going to sprinkle all the way down as we saw in this cycle. So I actually think the blue wave that folks say didn't occur actually is merely formed up, and it's a little farther offshore than people think, and it's a fairly big wave. I don't know if it's a tsunami, but I think in the next cycle, Republicans are going to find out what it meant to have sown the seeds that were sown over the last 4, 5, or 6 years, and that the Democrats are going to reap significant benefits from that.
Well, so then given that Martha McSally lost this year, does that portend poorly, you know, problems for her
Absolutely.
In 2 years?
Absolutely. And the bizarre thing is, again, Arizona is a libertarian state. And as hard as the Republican Party and the Democratic Party want to make it a something different, if both she and Kirsten stay in the center and try to govern that way, as she did, as Andre said, in her congressional seat, I think it makes it much harder to defeat her from the left. If she's got her eye on that, if the Republican Party doesn't break her legs in a primary and she's run to the middle and stays there, then I think she has a much better chance of winning. Do I think she ultimately wins? I think it's a real close call.
Andre, last question before the break. We haven't talked about Doug Ducey yet. We did mention Doug Ducey's chief of staff briefly.
Who?
Thank you, Hugh. So what does this say about what Doug Ducey was thinking? The fact that many of us expected him to pick John Kyle and then many of us expect to pick Martha McSally. Is this his management technique? Is there something else going on here?
I think when you look at the possibilities, Martha McSally was probably the best possibility that he had on the table. I think the interesting question
But for him or the state or both?
For both.
Okay.
If you had to pick a Republican who was actually going to be picked, certainly if I had my druthers of who I would pick, it would not have been Martha McSally, certainly. But when you look at his political needs, choice made sense. I think the interesting question is what the Democratic side looks like in 2020. And that, to me, is the most fascinating aspect of this.
Let's talk about that after the break. With Andre Cherney, Hugh Hallman, and Mark Brody, I'm Steve Goldstein. It is the Friday Newscap, which continues after this. Thanks for listening to the Friday Newscap here on 91.5 KJZZ in Phoenix with Mark Brody. I'm Steve Goldstein. Also here is former Tempe Mayor Hugh Hallman and former Arizona Democratic Party Chair Andre Cherney. Andre, before the break, wanted to find out about what Democrats might be in the hunt in 2020. Grant Woods may or may not. I spoke with him earlier this week. It seems like he hasn't quite made up his mind yet. What else? What other names come to mind for you?
I think the two names that are most being discussed and the two people really thinking about it are our Grant Woods, former Republican Attorney General, and Congressman Ruben Gallego, who represents Phoenix. And with both of those, you have a really interesting dichotomy and a really interesting choice about where the Democratic Party goes and where the state is going. Both fascinating characters with some real questions. And so I'd say for Ruben Gallego, here you have somebody who grew up with a single mother, got into Harvard, worked his way through scrubbing toilets for other Harvard students, signed up to join the military, was a combat Marine, served with distinction, ran for Congress, taking on the person that then Congressman Ed Pastor had handpicked as his successor, and won. And so a fascinating story. Question for him: does he want to give up what is a safe seat to run in this race at this point? And is this the right time for that? Grant Woods also very interesting and some real questions. He's somebody who has become the default Republican the Democrats have rolled out when they want to say that they have bipartisan street cred over the past few cycles, but has not been on a ballot himself for 20 years. Of course, was a Republican attorney general, gave a brilliant, moving eulogy for his former boss, John McCain, and that thrust him back into this conversation again. But it's going to have to answer some real questions. You said that in some ways Martha McSally is a cipher. I'd say Grant Woods, for a lot of voters, is a cipher as well. Obviously, somebody who was a Republican, now saying he's a Democrat, but was Jan Brewer's campaign chair during the 2010 election, and when Brewer was running on the really vile anti-immigrant SB 1070, obviously was a attorney for the Fiesta Bowl during that scandal. So he's going to have to answer some of these questions. You know, he's a very bright, engaging guy. I think he'll be able to come up with a strong answer. But those are the things that he's going to have to prove.
Hugh, let's talk specifically about Grant Woods a little bit more then. So
I don't know how Grant Woods thinks he's the savior of the Democratic Party. So you just heard Andre talk glowingly about one candidate and the raised questions about the second. And
I said some nice things about the other one, too.
I understand. But underneath that, I think, is going to be the theme. I'm sorry. You think you get to jump the line? You're going to suddenly become a Democrat and decide that you're going to be our savior? We've got plenty of people who've been working in this vineyard for a hell of a long time who are going to get that kind of support. Now, is he capable and able to do it? Yeah, Grant's a very, very savvy guy. And he recognized a lot earlier than Jeff Flake did, and certainly earlier than I did, that the Republican Party of Barry Goldwater no longer exists, and so we don't really quite have a home. And so made that transition more artfully. I can't give up the Republican Party because my mother helped create it in this state for Barry Goldwater. And that is my mother's legacy that I'm unwilling to walk away from. But Grant Woods can do that because he has spent some significant time working toward that goal. But I just don't see why Democrats would suddenly say, oh, thank God Grant's here. Otherwise, we were going to fail miserably. They just won a statewide Senate seat without him.
Well, Andre, let's assume that those two, and maybe others as well, are in the primary, the Democratic primary in 2020. Based on who comes out of that, what do you think that might say about the state of the Democratic Party in Arizona? We've talked about the Republican Party in Arizona. What about who comes out of that primary, what that might say about the Democrats?
Well, I think it's going to be a question for how do Democrats win in a changing state? And what you have with somebody like Ruben Gallego is somebody who should be able to mobilize Hispanic voters, mobilize millennials to come out. The Grant Woods playbook is a different one. It is saying here is somebody who, by virtue of having been a former Republican, will be able to attract Republicans of good faith
votes,
who are disgusted with their own party and say, okay, we're going to make a similar journey, attract those independents who are saying, this is not what I signed up for in having voted for Republicans. I want somebody who's going to be more of a centrist. And that's the Grant Woods promise. Those are two very different playbooks, and I think that's going
to
be the question.
One thing that comes to mind for both of you is that if Arizona had the top two, then Grant Woods is someone who, in the general sense, might do very well. But Hugh makes an interesting point about whether he can actually be in a Democratic primary and people will want to embrace him.
Well, what I find interesting is that Kyrsten Sinema did something that was tough. She started out as a fairly left. Did she ever declare herself as a communist, tutu wearing the whole thing? All of that stuff that
Prada
she was.
Proto-socialist, I think.
Yeah, that's it. The proto-socialist. She is very quiet now because we don't remember that stuff. But made her way to the center using CD9. Almost as a stealth candidate, and beat David Shapira, who should have won that seat, and then governed right from the middle.
There was a third candidate who came in second there, too.
I understand. But
sitting right next to you.
I understand. I didn't say you were a two-time loser, but okay. If you want me to say that, I'm okay.
Go ahead.
The point being that she came in as a stealth candidate and ended up then governing in the center and built a base that allowed her to become the senator for the state of Arizona. That's a Democratic Party now that was attacking her from the left. I have seen worse things written about Kyrsten Sinema from the left than I have about Martha McSally from the right. And the real question is, that's why I think Rubin ends up in a primary where he's much more likely to succeed than Grant, because Grant's checkered past will haunt him there. And the real question is, will the party let Rubin go to the center to win the seat against a McSally or not? And both parties now are pulling so far to their extremes that it's going to be tough for the rest of us to be represented. And the reason I say that is, Andrea and I are talking about the inside politics. Most voters just don't care. And they're looking for, okay, who kind of represents me? Not, gee, if we can play this game and move this way, and yeah, I get that they've got to run to the center eventually, and I'm okay with that. Nobody out there is that strategic, except the people sitting in this room. No, and most voters just want to vote for somebody that they feel good about.
I think that's right. I don't think it's a situation where we can say a pox on both your houses and say, look, both parties are pulling to their extreme. Certainly there are those tendencies in our politics. We have to admit that. But to somehow analogize what's going on with the Republican Party and where the center of gravity is in that party versus a Democratic Party who has put forward moderate centrist candidates, people who can reach across party lines, people who are about building coalitions. That's how they won all those seats in the state legislature. That's how they won the Senate seat. That's how they've run on winning other statewide seats. A very different kind of dynamic if you look up and down the ballot at how Democrats have run in Arizona and what they've done when they've tried to govern and what Republicans have done. So it's not equal kind of situation here.
So he now just kind of recaptured the hat of the chairman of the Democratic Party, and I get that. I can make the same kind of claim.
Don't wish that on me.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I can make the same claims about most Republicans out there. But the reality is what I said was read the blog posts, read the Twitter feed, and the attacks from the left on Kyrsten Sinema. They're horrible. And the same kind of stuff comes out of the right against anybody who is anywhere to the left of a Hun. But
well, we know how attacked John McCain was for many years by his own party.
The worst thing I ever did as a candidate is when I was running for state treasurer, I put up an endorsement on one day, John McCain and Jeff Flake together, which I thought would demonstrate the breadth of my support. I've never been attacked so roundly as I was on that day. And that feed is still up there. It's incredible that we have a guy, and we should morph to this, who's retiring from the Senate, who is a remarkable mind, a political theorist who understands what this country was founded in. And he could not win a primary and knew it. A man who is a sitting senator could raise more money than almost anybody, folded the tent. And that tells you how hard right things are here in this state. The left is no better.
But so those are, I mean, that speaks to your point. I mean, sure, there's going to be things on Twitter. There's going to be things in the comments feed of a blog post. That's very different than what you see in what has happened with Senator Flake and what happened with Senator Sinema.
Guys, there were other things we were going to get to, but we didn't get to them. But anyway, thank you very much for being here. Hugh Holman, former Tempe mayor. And Andre Cherney, former chair of the Arizona Democratic Party. Thanks for being such a good sport about a little ribbing there for Mr. Holman. Guys, happy holidays. Thanks for being here.
Happy holidays to you.
You've been listening to the Friday Newscap from KJZZ's The Show. It's an original podcast recapping the week's big stories with experts, commentators, and reporters. You can get the full show podcast at podcast.kjzz.org. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at theshow@kjzz.org. I'm Steve Goldstein, and thanks for listening.